Amen. Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. He said that you must be like a little child. Amen. A little child is innocent. Don't know any better. And if you ever notice, when they worship the Lord, they give it their all.
Amen.
I'm always, I guess, honored to say that whenever you hear a little child say that they'll pray for you, or you ask a little child to pray for them, you know the Lord's going to hear. Amen.
Amen.
If you got your Bibles with me this morning, turn to Psalms, the very last chapter in the book of Psalms. This message has been on my heart for quite a while. I've had it bookmarked for about a month or more. But as a preacher, you never know when the Lord's going to tell you to preach and where He's going to tell you to preach. A lot of times it comes last minute. The Lord gave me a scripture this week that I thought for sure was going to be the message today. But I kept sitting there and kept reading and kept studying, trying to find the will of the Lord. And this has been mentioned so many times today, I couldn't help but notice it. So I'm going to go back and stick with this message this morning and preach it the best I can with the Lord's help. Everybody pay close attention to this. It's a very important chapter, and I think it's very significant that it was listed as the very last chapter in the book of Psalms. After everything David had to say, after him talking about how he'd been in heartbreak and heartache, after he's talked about how he's been young and now he's old and he's never seen the righteous forsaken, after he's talking about all that and more, this is the very last thing we hear from David in the book of Psalms. Psalms 150, we'll read all six verses. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the strings, instruments, and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And everything, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated this morning. If you look at that, every verse has the word praise in it two times. Six verses times two, that's 12 instances of the word praise. 12 is a very significant number in the Bible. As it relates to the children of Israel, most significantly, there were 12 tribes of Israel. And David says, I believe he's probably speaking directly to Israel here, reminding Israel that in all things we must praise the Lord. We must keep our eyes upon the Lord and not what's going on around us, not what's going on in the world, not what's going on in the government, not what's going on in our life, but we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. I'm reminded of when Peter was on the boat with the disciples there, the apostles. Amen. He saw the Lord come a-walking on the water. Amen. And there was a tumultuous storm. If I recall correctly, there was in the middle of the Sea of Jordan. The deepest part of the sea is in the middle of it. They were at the midnight hour, the darkest hour, the third watch, I think it was. Amen. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes by in the darkness, in the darkest hour of their storm. While the winds are raging, I want you to get a picture of this. Amen. The disciples, the apostles, most of them were fishermen. They were out on the water all the time. They made their living on the water. They had seen many storms, no doubt. But there was something different about this storm that terrified them. That made them scared. And if it wasn't that one enough, here come a man walking upon the waves. Here come a man walking upon the sea. They'd never seen that before. All the days they've been fishing. They pulled in fishes. They pulled in more fishes. They pulled in all kinds of other things. You ever go fishing, you hook a piece of branch or two, you pull in a lot more of those than you do fish sometimes. But they ain't never seen a man walking on top of the water, much less waves that dash in the water. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And Peter comes and he says, Lord, if it's you, Bid me come unto you. Jesus said, as I come. Peter stepped out of that boat and began to walk in on the water. He began going straight to to Jesus. But I want you to notice something. Like I was trying to get across in this chapter, that David told him to praise the Lord. And we get our eyes on everything else. Well, Peter, he's doing just fine. He's walking on top of water. Hey, man, he goes out. He's probably in awe of Jesus out there on the water. But I want you to notice, just as quick as he gets out of there and makes his way to Jesus, what happens? He starts looking everywhere in.
Come on, bro.
His flesh starts telling him, you know what? This is impossible. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be able to walk on top of the water. There's nothing like this ever been done. His flesh and the devil starts whispering in his ear.
Amen.
And he took his eyes off Jesus, and immediately he began to sing.
Lord, help me.
And all of a sudden you hear Peter say, Lord, save me. My very first message was about Peter. And it was about the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. It don't take a long-winded prayer to be saved, amen. He said three words, Lord, save me. Amen. And Jesus reached down and took his hand and he was back on top of the water, amen. And the point is, amen, we can't get our eyes off the Lord. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Yes, the waves are raging. Yes, the boats are rocking to and fro. Yes, we have some experience and difficulties in our life. Hey, man, but the whole time we should still keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. Colossians said, set your affections not on the earth, but in heaven. Amen. That's where our eyes need to be. And this psalm here tells us to praise the Lord, to praise Him in His sanctuary, to praise Him for His mighty acts, to praise Him according to His excellent greatness, to praise Him with the sound of trumpets, to praise Him with psaltery and harp, to praise Him with timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, it's sad to say, I travel a lot with the Gilbert family who I sing with, and every now and then I'll get preaching appointments from those appointments, and I'll go to different churches, and it's sad to say that many churches we go into don't know how to praise the Lord.
Amen.
You'll be singing and you'll be praising the Lord the best way you know how. You'll be singing to God. Hey, man, and you'll be singing to the congregation. You try to feel the Spirit move. And you'll get all just, there's just a feeling, Lord, that you get that you don't can't describe to your congregation. And everybody else will be out there just cross-armed. And they'll have a frown on their face. And they won't have nothing to be happy about.
Amen.
I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
They don't know how to praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's something inside of them that's just constricted. Something that's choking them. Amen. It's not letting the liberty of the Spirit flow through them. The Spirit has to flow. Amen. You can't force it. I've been in churches where they try to force it, and that don't work either. It's got to be a natural, organic thing where you let the Spirit of the Lord move through you, and you're able, amen, to let your bodies be used of the Lord, whether it be a raising of your hand, whether it be a shout. The Lord uses me more than anything to just be a big old crybaby.
Amen.
I had the good fortune this week of my wife calling me a crybaby. She was talking to our pastor. Or no, she was talking to the family. We was having a kind of a conversation about morality and God and different things like that. And her family's lost. You need to pray for them.
Amen.
She was trying to bring God into the conversation. And she used me as an example. And she used me several times. She said, she was talking about the emotional and the heart. She says, you know, Eric is a big crybaby most of the time. He's emotional.
Amen.
He's just like that.
Come on.
And you know what? That's how God uses me. This is a long time. Listen up, friends. There's a long time ago that I was so embarrassed of my tears that they dried up. And let me tell you, when you have something inside that needs to come out, but it won't, because it can't, you're miserable. You feel like you're going to swell and bust. But you can't. You just take it home with you. And then for a long time I prayed, God, give me back my tears. Lord, help me be able to express some kind of emotion. Help me to be true to you. And finally, God was able to grant that. And I haven't squelched them since. Amen. I'm not ashamed of what God does for me. I'm not ashamed to show it. Amen. The devil likes to try to whisper in my ear, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. People will think funny things about you. But you know what? The older I get, Brother Willard, I'll be 39 this year. I got one more year in my 30s. Amen. Then a new chapter will begin. The older I get, the more I don't worry too much about what people think. It's what God thinks that counts. God wants us to praise Him. God wants us to praise Him everywhere we go. Amen. Paul said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice always. Paul knew what it meant to suffer. Paul was stoned to death. Amen. He's brought back to life. Paul was whipped 39 times, 40 times saved one. Amen. They plotted to kill him several times. Amen. There's many things that Paul did, if you'll read about his journeys that he went upon. He was jailed. Finally, legend has it doesn't say in the Bible, but legend has it, amen, that he was beheaded for his faith.
Yeah.
Which is very plausible considering that we know John the Baptist was beheaded.
Yep.
That's something they did back in those days.
Yep.
Paul knew what it meant to be persecuted, to be mocked.
Yep.
But he said, I count all these things as done. Amen. There's nothing that I go through that's not worthy to be even compared with the glory which shall be revealed in me. You see, as people, Brother Rick has mentioned a reference to time many times this morning. As people, we're limited in scope by what we can understand, by what we can see, by what we can feel. We have a limitation upon us, this old flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's limited by the fleshly things. And we can't really see the big picture. Amen. That when we get to heaven, this old world that we've lived in for 40, 50, 60 years, however long it's been, will be just a flash compared to eternity. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why it's important that you know where you're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
Brother Rick mentioned that too, and he was absolutely right. There are two roads, amen, to choose. There's a wide, broad road that leads to destruction in a place called hell, where there'll be fire and gnashing of teeth and weeping forever and ever. Amen, this life will be a flash in the bucket. It'll be a drop in the bucket compared to what hell will be like for all eternity. Then there's a straight and narrow way. And Jesus said there's many that are able to find that way. The world is so broad and so wide and so destructive that it's hard to get people to understand that there's a better way than the drugs. There's a better way than the immorality. There's a better way than the cheating, lying and stealing, amen. There's a better way, amen. But there's few that find it because they got their eyes on everything else and they're not looking for the straight and narrow way that leads into life everlasting. Bible says to praise the Lord. I don't know why I'm going this direction, Brother Rick. All I know to do is to mind the Lord. I don't have nothing scripted. I don't got nothing planned out. That's just the way I like it, amen. The Lord can use me. And I said, Lord, get me out of the way this morning. You use me for your glory. There's, I don't know, I'm just a guess, probably about 50 people in here at least. And every one of us, they say that every one of us has a fingerprint that nobody else has. They're all unique. Every one of us is unique. In God's eyes, we're a different person. We're separate from each other. God has us, He's chosen us to do a certain work that your neighbor cannot do as good as you can. Because He created you to be individual. So that lets me know that if that much individuality is in the room today, then there's multitudes of needs in the house. I don't know your need, you don't know my need. But I'm telling you what, God created us all and He knows everyone of our needs. There's nothing that God is hid from God. Everything is open and naked unto the eyes of whom we have to do. That is God. He knows our needs. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we've been through. The little precious girl sung a song, Amazing Grace. I love that third verse most of all. Through many trials, temptations, and through many all these things that God has brought me through. His grace that brought me thus far.
Amen.
I know because I can look back and see what God has brought me through. Brother Jerry Harris, amen, was one time we was having a prayer meeting here. And he was talking about the evidence of his faith. And how he can look back over the years and see the evidence of what his faith has brought him to and brought him through in this present day. the children of Israel, when they went to different places, when they was about to go conquer the promised land and claim it for themselves, God told them many times, don't you forget where I brought you from. Don't you forget that I brought you out of the Red Sea. I brought you out of Pharaoh's house. I brought you out of Egypt. I did all this. Unless you get a little bit of high and mighty in yourself, thinking you've done it all. It's easy, amen, to praise self instead of the Lord.
Yeah, come on, brother.
It's easy to say, "Well, look what I done."
Amen.
There's a king in the Bible named Herod, and he was struck down with worms. He died because they proclaimed that he was a god, and he never corrected. He never said otherwise. So that leads me to believe that he thought, "Well, I must be." God struck him down.
Amen.
Too many people today are playing God.
Come on.
Too many people, science is playing God. Politics are playing God. Even religion's playing God. But God said there's no other beside thee. There's no graven image. There's no name above any other name other than the one I sent, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me go a little further here.
Amen.
You know, we was talking about Peter and all that. There's another person in the Bible. John chapter 4. Everybody knows this scripture about the woman in the well. Amen. And we know the scripture, it says that she's having a conversation with the Lord and she's talking about being thirsty and how she'll never thirst again if she just take of the water of this life.
Yeah.
She's in a well trying to draw water, but really it's her soul that needs a drink. But Jesus told him, you know, she talked about how we know how to worship God, and we're Samaritans, we're different from you, but we can worship God. And Jesus told her, he said in verse 21 of chapter 4 of John, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what."
Amen.
"We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Notice that the Father seeketh such to worship Him.
Amen.
God seeks people to worship Him. God seeks people to praise Him. And He thinks so much of this praise and worship that He says, "If people won't praise me, then the rocks will cry."
Amen.
That's how much He believes and how much He feels about praise. Why? Because He is sovereign God. He's the one that made this big old ball of dirt. He's the one that put us here. He's the one that gave His Son, amen, to redeem mankind from the fall and to bring us close to God Himself and to redeem that relationship. See, salvation is not a religion. It's a relationship. You go home and you have your husband and your wife and they have a relationship. God compares the church's relationship with Him to a husband and a wife.
Yeah, come on.
It's the most intimate relationship you'll ever have.
Amen.
Amen.
Notice I said husband and wife, not husband and husband, not wife and wife.
Come on.
Husband and wife. Amen.
Amen.
You see it in nature. You see it in wildlife. The only place that's got it wrong is humans. Amen. I don't understand that.
Amen.
But that's another that's another sermon entirely.
Amen, brother.
But the important thing is, God seeks people to praise Him. And you go to church and it seems like everybody's just out of praise. It's something being out of gas. Yeah,
well,
they don't have no gas. They've got to go to gas to get out of bed and come to church.
Come on.
Bless you, Lord.
You can't ask anything else out of them. They get mad at you if you do.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
God wants us to worship Him.
Amen.
And a lot of times, the fault lies in not recognizing who God really is. And it was already been mentioned this morning. Brother Rick mentioned this too. And this brother mentioned it. About being in the Word. Let me tell you, it's the Word that helps us understand the mind and the character of God.
Amen.
It's the word that guides us to realize what He has brought us through, what He has promised to bring us to. Amen. What He is, He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalmist David said this in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, and forget not all His benefits, who healeth all thy iniquities, who forgiveth all thy transgressions. Amen. On and on and on he goes about the benefits of the Lord. If we would start counting our blessings instead of looking at the things in this life that's bringing us down, it'd be a lot easier to praise the Lord in this house this morning. I know when I was a young man, Christian, Brother Rick was talking about me being young and saved. I was saved at the age of 13, 20-something years ago. And, you know, I was really quiet, still am. Probably can't tell it now, but I was, and I still am. So it was hard for me to understand when people would raise their hand in church or when they'd shout, when they'd run the aisles. Man, I've seen the days where they'll take a running fit. We was in a revival one time, Brother Terry Bryant took a running fit, went plumb outside, got preached and come back, and he had blood running down his arm where he cut the side of the door. He just kept on. I was a kid, I didn't understand that. And still, I don't understand how God uses those things as a means of praising Him. I don't understand. Do you know the good news? I don't have to understand. I have to be obedient. If God tells me to cry, if God wells up in my soul that water that He talks to the woman at the well about, that be drawn waters out of the well of salvation and be rushing up, if God starts making me cry, all I have to do is just let it happen. I don't have to question, Lord, why am I crying? Well, we have a lot of questions sometimes that we don't need to be concerned about. It always amazed me that in Genesis it talks about Abraham. God tells him, He says, you got to leave your country and go to this other land. And then it said, Abraham just obeyed. He just got to leave.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm going, if it was me, I'd be going, well, Lord, I need to get this together. And then how am I going to survive? I need to look at job postings and I need to do all this other stuff. No, you just need to go.
Yeah, come on.
God will supply the need on the other end, but you got to trust Him along the way.
Amen. That's good.
So many times we get things wrong. We question things when we should be doing things. Amen. We question more than we should be doing. Maybe if we flip that on its head and said, you know, the next time I feel something from the Lord, I'm going to do it instead of question about it.
Amen.
See what happens.
Amen.
Many times the Bible said, the Lord, try me. The Lord said, try me. And see. Taste and see if the Lord is good.
Amen.
Have you tasted the Lord recently this morning? Do you know what it means to praise the Lord?
Hello.
You don't have to question why God gives you an urge to raise your hand and just thank Him. You don't have to question why God just says, just holler out a big old shout. You don't have to question any of that. Just do it and see if God blesses you.
Amen.
God wants to bless us as much as He wants us to praise Him.
Right.
It's a two-way street.
Thank you, Lord.
Two-way street. If you go home today and you expect a good meal on the table, you expect the house to be clean, you expect all this stuff to be done from your wife, but you haven't done nothing to help her and show her you love her, you ain't going to get much.
Amen.
And you shouldn't expect that.
Amen.
It's a two-way street.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Marriage is a two-way street.
Glory.
In the beginning, God took two people, male and female, put them together in a union, in a marriage. He sees the church as a marriage relationship. We are called the bride of Christ.
Right.
He is called the groom.
Amen.
And will be the husband.
Amen.
It's a two-way street.
Amen.
It's a relationship.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we expect God to be blessing us, we need to praise Him more.
Amen.
Especially if we don't feel like any time. I'm not the only one. There's been times in your life, if you're married, that you just don't feel like you love or sometimes even like his spouse.
Amen.
What do? You do it anyway.
Amen.
Love is not a feeling. Love is a verb. It's an action.
Amen.
It's an action.
Come on.
Sometimes I don't feel like praising God. I'll be honest with you.
Come on.
Yeah, the preacher said that. I'll be the first to say it. I don't feel like praising you, Lord. I don't feel like just hooping and hollering. I don't feel like singing. Lord, I've been doing all this work and all this stuff and excuses.
Come on.
But if we just stop for a minute and just start doing what we don't feel like, I've found that 9 times out of 10, it gets easier. And it becomes more fun. There's things I got to do at home, on my own business and things. I got to sit down and make myself, I got to will myself to do these things, even though I know that it's fun, I like to do it, but the initial starting of it is the hardest part.
Amen.
It's hardest to get over that initial first step. But when you get into it, next thing you know, it's 2 or 3 hours later.
Amen.
How many understand what that feeling's like?
Amen.
There's a pleasure, there's a joy in doing work, and there's the same thing with God. There's a pleasure and a joy in coming to church, not just for fellowship with each other, but for fellowship with God.
Amen.
There's a relationship there. And it's about praising God. I'm not going to turn over there. I was going to, but I'm not going to. But in Revelation, I think it's chapter 4, talks about praising God to the utmost extreme.
Right.
Talks about they looked for a man that was worthy to open the books, and they found none.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the Lion of the tribe of Judah stepped out. He was the only one worthy. And they began to praise Him. All the creatures in heaven, all the elders in heaven began to praise God, praise Jesus, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world." Not only do we praise God, but we praise God's Son. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ. We look to Him for salvation. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Boy, you say that in some churches and they'll just freeze. If you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His.
Yeah,
that's Bible.
That's Bible, please.
We have to have that Spirit. He's the comforter.
Amen.
He's the guide.
Amen.
He's the one that leads us to God. When you're out in the world and you feel that tug to come back to God, that's the Holy Spirit. He's leading you back to God.
Amen.
I feel like I'm about done this morning. Let's all stand. It's able to. I'll ask them to come get a verse of a song. I feel that in my own mind, I feel like this message is scattered all over the place. But I know God has said His Word's not going to go out and return void. It's for somebody out there today. Somebody out there, if you'll be honest, got something from this message that you did not have when you came here this morning. And some people, if you're honest, realize you need to make another step. And let me tell you, that first step is the hardest. We've already talked about that. But once you get there, and once you get into the firing line for God, let me tell you, it's a lot easier. And it becomes more, you become more passionate about it. You become more excited about it, more zealous about it. Because you know that God has never left you and He's never going to leave you. Never leave you, never forsake you. He said, "Behold, I am with you, even unto the ends of the world." He said, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I have my right hand and my righteousness will strengthen thee. I will help thee." Many times the Bible talks about this. So if you have a need as they sing, you are more than welcome to come and just have a conversation with God. It may be something totally unrelated to this message, but maybe this message just kind of coaxes it out of you. And you feel like, I know I need to go pray. Don't worry about what other people think. It's between you and God. If you have a need, don't stand there in your place today. Don't just sit there in your seat. Come and get to where there's help. If you need help this morning, as they sing.